Hello. Let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We ask that you fill this place with your Spirit. Be with us as we celebrate the life of Pastor Russell Takaesu. Father, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. far away. Rising, he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day, O glorious day, O glorious day.
Aloha, good morning. We're going to have some words of remembrance now with David Jishiki.
Hey guys, I'm Russell's cousin David. So please bear with me. Okay. Can you guys hear me back there? I know I'm kind of a big mouth, so you shouldn't have any problem. What's wrong in our family, yeah? Okay, with grateful heart, I have the privilege of sharing Russell's story, hoping to honor even in a small part of his remarkable life. Russell Masami Takaezu was born on July 20th, 1953, in Honolulu, Hawaii, to Paul M. and Betty F. Takaezu. He grew up in the beautiful Pu'unui area, surrounded by many dear family and friends from Pu'unui, Nu'uanu, and Pa'oa. Russell went to Mai Mai Elementary, Kawananakoa Intermediate, McKinley High School, and the University of Hawaii. Transitioning from school days to hobbies, Russell enjoyed surfing the South Shore, cooking, eating, and meeting up with friends. He also hunted deer and boar. Russell enjoyed and collected old and fast cars from the 60s and even drove the bus. In addition to his adventurous spirit, Russell's journey of faith began in 1980, when he opened his heart to Jesus and became a Christian at Christian Chapel. His friend Eric Van Dusen remembers becoming friends shortly after Russell got saved, saying it was a joy to see him grow in God's grace. The Lord brought our hearts together, meeting with Russ and other brothers every week for food, fellowship, and prayer. Russell was an example of pressing on the hands to all Jesus had for him and sharing Jesus with others. We miss Russell and look forward to eternity with him. It was at Christian Chapel in 1983 that Russell and Levon, the woman who would become his best friend and the love of his life. At that time, Russell served as an usher. He noticed Levon's dedication, how she would roller skate or catch the bus just to attend church. Wanting to make her journey a little easier, Russell kindly offered her rides to potlucks and Bible studies. As their friendship grew together, they began serving in the church nursery, side by side with others. Their love blossomed through simple joys, walking along Waikiki Beach, watching sunsets, sharing laughter and conversation at Hannah's Coffee House, and going to potlucks and church. On June 24th, 1984, Russell and Levon joined their lives in marriage, beginning a journey together shared by faith, laughter, love, and the promise to walk through life's joys and challenges. Russell worked with his dad at All American Life Insurance Company, also as a manager and top car salesman. On January 8, 1988, welcoming their first child, Russell and Levon became parents to Paul Masami Takaezu. He had so much joy being a dad, enjoying time with him. Russell began a loving journey to Paul. When Paul was 2 years old, Russell began working for Coordinated Wire Rope, CWR, as an account manager, selling large wire ropes, chains, and rigging hardware. This gave him more time to spend with his family. Seeking continued fellowship, Russell and Levon began attending Calvary Chapel, Honolulu around 1990. The family grew again on August 22, 1991, when Russell and Levon became parents to John Russell Takaezu. Russell cherished time spent with his sons, teaching, going to the park, camping, swimming, fishing, watching his boys play with their cousins at family gatherings. In time, Russell would lead Bible studies and was ordained as a pastor on December 1st, 2001. and assisted Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Russell so enjoyed going to pastors' conferences in California. He would also ride motorcycle with some of the guys from church. He helped oversee the construction of this facility along with the George Fermanian and the late Michael Van Meter. Russell and Laverne also enjoyed visiting Minnesota, where Laverne grew up. They visited Paul in Oregon and John in Japan. Russell's heart allowed him to help care for his mom and dad in their golden years. In 2019, Russell married his first son, Paul, and his daughter-in-law, Darcy. He enjoyed going to their place, barbecuing with Paul and having conversations with Darcy. Russell and Laverne became grandparents to Sky and Luke on March 28, 2021. Laverne remembers Russell saying, "Being a grandpa was such a blessing. He enjoyed hearing Sky and Luke laugh, seeing them eat lunch at their house. He was so impressed with how much they had learned every time he saw them, receiving their hugs, and Russell was so happy to see that they were coming to church." Throughout the years, Russell continued to minister as a pastor and served alongside the Stevedores for Christ right before he passed. Blake said that he's still in shock and disbelief, and he still thinks of Russell every single day. Blake and Paula are still expecting to see him on his visits to both their workplace to chat up some story. Russell's last text message to Paula the day before his surgery was, "Yes, thanks for the prayers. Going in early tomorrow. Procedure scheduled for 7:45. Should be okay. Try not to worry too much. Laverne will be in touch with you and Blake. Had a chance to talk with him yesterday. That was good. Keep pals in prayers." And now he and Luke are not feeling well. They're staying at home today. Love, Russ. Russell will be truly missed by the entire family and friends. His warmth, care, love for Jesus, beautiful smile, and hearty laughter will always be remembered. Thank you.
Hello. I gotta read because sometimes I can't remember. I met Russell, I think, at Christian Chapel, which is located in Mo'ili'ili. Russell, Lynn, Diane, Lyman, Bobby Burns, Tony Muniz, Randy, they were all surfers and became part of the fellowship. LaVon later joined the Ohana. We became family, doing Bible studies, having picnics at Queens Beach in Waikiki with John and Faye Wadley, and just being together, it was a special time. In 1983, I think. Russell and LaVon were married at the Calvary by the Sea Lutheran Church. I was honored to be the best man. It was something I always remember. Russell was one happy guy. We started attending Calvary Chapel, which at the time was located in the Chinatown area. I remember Russell working with the River of Life Missions, ministering to the poor and homeless. Russell just had a heart for people. It was his desire to serve God. It was also the start of his calling to be a pastor. My family and I moved to Washington State in 1993. Russell did come to visit, and we did church. In 1996, my mom, who was still living in Hawaii, had a heart attack. I remember Russell and Pastor Bill Stonebreaker at the hospital when he took my mom off life support. Pastor Bill and Russell were there to comfort and minister. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." I looked up the word deceit, and he deemed Nathanael as a mark of a true believer, one who has transparent sincerity. I believe the definition fits Russell to a T. Russell was one special guy. I saw the empathy he had for others. He had a deep relationship with God. I contacted John and Faye Wadley, who have been with the Campus Crusade for over 35 years and now live in California, and told them I had sad news. Here's what John said about Russell. Russell literally changed from a moke to a follower of Jesus to a lover of people in front of our eyes. He will be missed. If any of you do not know what the word moke means, ask one of the locals. Yes, Russell will be missed.
Hello, everyone. On behalf of the Seaview Rose for Christ, the gentleman standing behind me, to you, Levon, Paul, John, and the rest of Pastor Russell's family, as well as his congregation, we want to express our deepest condolences. My name is Leitu Carnuth, and I'm a retired stevedore. As a new believer, I was greatly influenced by Pastor Russell Takaezu. He was an associate pastor here at Calvary Chapel Komumai, and I was a young believer. He mentored me while we sat under Pastor Bill's teaching. Today, I serve as an assistant pastor at Calvary Kaneohe. At Matson, where I worked, there's a small group of us, believers known as the Stevedores for Christ. Each morning, this is back 26 years ago, three or four guys would gather at the Matson parking lot to pray. I got saved in 2000 and joined them every morning for prayer. Soon after, the Lord led me to start a Bible study on a beach across from Matson on Sand Island. We met once a week during lunch to share God's word. Some days, only one, maybe three people would show up. One day, no one came. But Pastor Russell unexpectedly drives up. I had never mentioned to him at church about our beach Bible study that we had. At the time, I didn't know that he sold equipment to Matson. Sensing that the Lord had sent him, I begged him. Pastor Russell, would you take over and teach this study? Russell began teaching us, and many people started coming to this Bible study. I had to load my truck with chairs, and I filled up that truck with chairs, and we would meet right on the beach. He became the pastor teacher for the Stevedores for Christ. He faithfully led our group for over 15 years. Each Thanksgiving, we held an outreach at our Bible study location on the beach. We also set up a worship band right there on the sand. Pastor Russell would share a Thanksgiving message and the gospel, and many would get saved. We would then serve a meal, give away toiletries, gifts, and food to the homeless. That outreach has continued to grow. When Russell started his church, Calvary Chapel Downtown, he stepped away from the weekly teaching at Matson. I was leading worship at Calvary Kaneohe, so the weekly Bible study was entrusted to Nolan Ramirez. Nolan has done an excellent job of continuing the Lord's work of ministering to the homeless and to the stevedores workforce who all need Jesus. Pastor Russell shared the gospel at this past 2025 Thanksgiving outreach. Shortly afterward, he went home to be with the Lord. We will miss his big smile, his stories, and his laughter that was already talked about today. But for those of us who are saved, who know Jesus, we know that we will see Pastor Russell again. Nolan Ramirez.
Aloha, each and every one of you. It's good to see all of you here today. Honoring God, first of all, and honoring a great, great mentor, a great man who had a love for people. In the Bible, it says in Proverbs 12:14, from the fruit of his lips come good things, and the working of his hands is my reward. From the fruit of his lips, the divine revelation is. The fruit of his lips is my Bible. I pray that each and every one of us here do everything that I command you to do in my Bible. And the working of his hands is my reward. The divine revelation of the working of his hands is. And what I'm going to turn you into will be my reward. From the heart of God to the heart of Pastor Russell. From the heart of Pastor Russell to the heart of the Stevedores for Christ. From the heart of the Stevedores for Christ to the hearts of the Takaesu family. We share with you our love, our gratitude, and the faith and love that your dear Father has poured into each and every one of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we'd like to offer a gift of gratitude and love to the Takaesu family from the Stevedores for Christ. It reads, in memory of Russell Takaesu from the Stevedores for Christ.
Aloha. I was trying to follow the schedule. Everybody was supposed to say the name of the next person coming up so we know what order we were in. So again, that was David Yashiki first, Ben Abihai, Letu Carnuth, Nolan Ramirez, and I am Mike Oyano, pastor at Calvary Chapel Downtown. As we share these words of remembrance, I was looking at the screen, Russell always had a beautiful smile. Always had a beautiful smile. There's only one photo in there where he's not smiling. I don't know if you can see it. It's when he's holding the two pistols in his hands. That was old Russell. I saw it, I was like, oh, that's so interesting. Russell was such a jokester, I tell you. And One thing that he told me, he always shared this with me. He said, keep it simple, keep it short, less is more. And you know, LaVon loves to decorate the church, loves to change things up for the seasons, decorate. But Russell is just, keep it simple, keep it short, less is more. You know, we have this 3-foot Christmas tree sitting in the corner. I said, you know, Russell, I have this, it's a weird kind of tree. It's 6 feet tall, but it's really narrow. It's like a pine tree. It's only 18 inches in diameter. I said, you can sit it in the corner. It's not going to take up any more space. And a 6-foot Christmas tree. Let's just liven things up. He looked at me. He looked at the tree. He said, put the tree on a stool. 6-foot Christmas tree. Keep it simple. Keep it short. Less is more. Oh. Russell, he was very loyal to his God. He was devoted to his family and a faithful shepherd to his sheep and friends. So to keep things short, Russell's last words to us on Sunday were, and I quote, hey guys, no matter what happens, just continue. Just continue. Continue to put God first in your life. Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Continue. Continue to gather with and as a family. Gather. Not just for Easter or Christmas. We got graduations going on right now. Go to the parties. Go to the baby luau's, the birthday parties, the anniversaries. Don't neglect those things. Go to a honeymoon. No, I'm sorry. Don't go to a honeymoon. That would be awkward. But that was something that Russell would probably say as a joke. Continue to gather. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us not consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Take the time to be with family, you know, every event. Continue. Continue to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6 tells us to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We miss you, Russell. We're enjoying celebrating you now. Message now from Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Thank you.
Well, thank you for all that has been said so far. And it's obvious that Russell was very much loved and appreciated. Some of you knew him really well, and others, obviously family members. Others, you serve with him and in the ministry. Actually, probably with Russell and LaVon, it had to be at least 35 years. Maybe even more than that in the ministry. I think it was something like that the picture that they have here for Russell, boy, does that depict Russell, the smile, just who he is, and what a joy that is. You know, one of the things about a memorial service and celebrating the life of Russell Takiezu, it's not just the celebration, but coming together biblically. I'm going to talk just like you're in church and you're getting a sermon from me, because it's really all about Russell, and it's all about his love for the Lord and not just this life, but the next life. The Bible tells us that it's better to go to the house of mourning. In other words, it's better to be at a funeral service like we are this morning than to go to the house of feasting. a house where you're having a party. Better to do this than you're going in having a feast and having a party and that kind of thing. And then it says why. It says, because the living take it to heart. I can't assume that everyone here is a born-again Christian, that they know where they're going after this life. I can't assume that. And so that's why I'm going to almost kind of speak as Russell would want to speak. And actually, it would be, I think, what a message Russell would probably give if he was doing a funeral as well. But some of the things when Russell and LaVon, they were with us, that we were at the Empress Theater for a number of years, but I remember Russell and some of the guys, they started a motorcycle ministry. I'd just gotten a motorcycle, and I think we called it Run for the Sun, S-O-N, because we were all Christians, and so we'd take off from the parking lot of the Empress Theater right next door, and probably at least 10, maybe more, 12, 15 motorcycles would go out and we'd go around the island. But Russell was a part of that, and he's the one that really got me involved in doing that, and that ministry starting there. And then when we began to build this place out about 25 years ago, and Russell was really at the forefront of this. And as was mentioned, Michael Van Meter, he was kind of the overseer, the manager of it. And George Fermanian, he was a developer from the mainland that we knew very well. And so he, you know, he was a developer on the project. But Russell was here constantly. And I called Russell because you know how it is. If you're the senior pastor and you're doing a build out like this, there's a lot of things that go on, a lot of stressful situations, a lot of problems that come up, a lot of things that you have to deal with. And Russell would be kind of at the forefront. And I called him my stress absorber because he would take it all and he would do it with a smile and he'd deal with all the things that came. And so what a great part he was in the build out of this facility. And then he became really good friends with the guys that are involved, especially Michael Van Meter and George Fermanian when George was over here, because he was from San Diego and he'd come over periodically. But Russell would always take him to local food. So he'd take him to the local restaurants and they loved it. They loved it. But that was really the connection. And when I look at that picture that they have here of Russell, I just think that is who he is. Speaks of his personality. I don't know if you always smile like that, but I sure don't. But Russell did. And then when Russell went out and he said, you know, downtown, as we built this place out, we didn't have the ministry downtown. And Russell said, you know what? I wanna do it downtown. And so he called it Calvary Chapel Downtown, which is perfect. And then the ministry's been going well. Finding a facility is kind of hard, but it's been going well. And Russell would come to all of our pastors' leaders' conferences that we would do here, and then I'd see Russell in some of the international conferences in California. We'd have him at Murrieta or at a Diamond Bar, Raul Reese's church. But it was always good to see Russell because he would always meet new pastors, new friends, wherever he was. He was kind of a magnet for people to just feel comfortable around. You know, sometimes when you meet people or you're around people, it's kind of awkward. You know, you don't know how to look, how to talk, what to say. But Russell, you're always very comfortable around him. He'd make you feel comfortable. And that's how it was at some of these international conferences. I would see him with a group of guys talking with him, and he always loved to go there and renew those friendships. But you know, a lot of the questions, they come up. They're asking, you know, we're celebrating his life, and we don't necessarily celebrate death, but we realize that death is a door to something else. It is a door to something else. And the question is always asked, is there life after this life? Is there life after death? And I know sometimes it's a philosophical idea, and sometimes people will say things that are kind of odd, because I think they try to say it to comfort somebody. Well, they're in a better place. And I'm saying, well, where is that better place? It's like nowadays, you know, you see somebody and you leave them and they say, have a good one. A good what? I know what they're talking about, a good day. But you see, it's very specific in the Bible about what happens after death. And yet there's a lot of speculation, a lot of wondering about it. You know, a lot of philosophers and thinkers and those, they try to kind of imagine what it could be. There's even movies that are made of, you know, after death or wanting to live forever, that kind of thing. And that question was asked probably one of the oldest books in classical literature. Well, it's one of the oldest books in the Bible, the book of Job. Job had a family, wonderful family, 10 children, and they were having a feast in their house, and some kind of a hurricane or a tornado came through and it collapsed the house. 10 kids died in that catastrophe. 10, can you imagine if your servants or your friends came home and said, you know what, your kids, they were in the house, they were having a party and the house collapsed with that tornado and they're all dead. And Job was a righteous man, the Bible says. And he's one of the three that is listed in one of the most righteous men in the Bible. And Job, he wept over that. But then he thought to himself, that idea, is there life after this life? Is there life beyond the grave? And he said to himself, and this is what the Bible says, if a man dies, shall he be made to live again? He's thinking of his kids. If people die, will they be made to live again? If somebody would just say, yes, Job, yes, that would give him comfort. That would give him relief. Because he's mourning, he's grieving over this. But there wasn't an answer. There was no answer for him. And so all throughout the ages, people have speculated, they've talked about it, they've contemplated it. You find philosophers and thinkers writing things about that and all. But it was answered. It was answered about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago in a little city in Israel, in Jerusalem, well, the city is Bethany. And two sisters, they're grieving over the death of their brother, Lazarus. He was a good friend of Jesus. And these two women, Jesus was always there fellowshipping. It was like you have your best friends and you go over there maybe for a celebration maybe it's Easter, 4th of July, Christmas. You know, you're always over there, you're good friends. Well, that's what Jesus was with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And so they sent him. He wasn't close by. It was a couple, the journey was probably about a day or two away. And they got word to him that Jesus, the one you love, is sick. If you come, you could heal him. And Jesus told his disciples he's sick. And he waited 2 days. He didn't come right away. He waited 2 days, and the journey was about 2 days or more. And finally, he did come with the disciples. And you can imagine if you know that Jesus could heal and you know that Jesus can get you out of some difficult situation, and yet he doesn't. He delays. It's almost like you feel like he stiff-armed me. I thought God was love. I thought Jesus loved me. And yet he didn't come, and now my brother has died. Lazarus has died. And so his disciples, they were saying, you know, that Jesus said to them that Lazarus is asleep, which is interesting because asleep for a Christian is dead. You're dead. This body goes, but your soul and spirit still live. And so when Jesus said that to the disciples, they said, well, that's fine. He's asleep. He'll wake up again. And Jesus said, no, he's dead. And then they came, but it took them a while to come. And Jesus said to the disciples, now he's not with Mary and Martha yet, but this is before the journey. He said to them that I'm glad for your sakes that you might believe. If I said that to you right now, that I'm glad that Russell is dead for your sakes, because of the message that Russell would want me to give you, that you might have eternal life as well. Because that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples, because he was going to show them the power that he has over life and death. And so when he came to Bethany, Martha, she was angry at this point. She came out and she was in his face. She said, Jesus, why didn't you come when we called you? You didn't come. My brother is dead. And Jesus said, your brothers will live again. And she said, well, I know, kind of like, I know in the sweet by and by, and I know somewhere in the future, resurrection and stuff. And Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives in me shall never die. And then he said, do you believe this? You see, the point being, if you live and believe in Jesus Christ, you won't die. You'll never be separated from God. You go from this life, as Russell did, when he took his last breath on earth here, he took his first breath in heaven. When he closed his eyes for the last time here on earth, he opened his eyes in heaven and he saw Jesus. You see, that's what the Bible's all about. That's what life on earth is all about. We only live, the Bible says, we have 70 years of due to strength, 80. You know, that's how many years he's given us. We have a lady in our church that's 99, so some have more time than others. So they were angry at Jesus. But he's giving them hope, but he says, do you believe this? That's the question for all of us this afternoon. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? If you don't, then there's no hope. If you do, then there is hope from this life to the next, face to face with him. Because there are two places Jesus talks about him, and he talks more about the one place than he does about the other. There's heaven, where Russell is right now, but there's also hell, eternal separation from God. And Jesus warned people more about hell than he did heaven. But you see, if you live and believe in Jesus Christ, you have hope of eternal life as Russell has right now. You see, one of the things with that hope or no hope, it's not just kind of a pie in the sky hope. Well, gee, I hope it happens. I hope they win the Super Bowl. I hope they win the soccer match. No, that's not the hope that God's talking about. You see, God knows what hope is. It's an assurance. It's a sure thing kind of hope. Because the Bible tells us that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Notice this, it's not a dead hope, I hope it happens and it might not happen. No, it's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. So it's that faith and that trust in Jesus Christ, who went to the cross. Now, the story I just told you, Jesus didn't go to the cross yet, but he's going to show that he has power over life and death. Because he says, where did you lay Lazarus? They said, well, his tomb is right here, and they had a stone rolled away. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And the ladies say, well, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. He's going to stink at this time. And Jesus said, roll away that stone. You see, one of the things that the Jews believed back then, they believed that for 3 days, the spirit would hover over the body. You know, spirit over the body. But after 3 days, the spirit was gone. And so they're saying, there's absolutely no hope now, Lord. His body is decaying at this point. Roll away the stone. And the Bible says he said with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of that tomb. He was wrapped, and they wrapped him in the grave clothes, his body and his face. He hopped out, and Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him." In other words, put your hand on this one who was dead, because he's alive now. He's alive. And they believed. They believed him because he proved it's a living hope. And then ultimately, eventually, when he went to the cross, died on the cross for our sins and theirs, the sins of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins, he cried out, the very last thing is, "It is finished." Not, "I am finished." It is finished. What? The work of salvation, that we can have a home in heaven. And then they buried him. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He appeared for 40 days to the disciples. That one time, 500, over 500, to show that this is a reality. This is a reality. He's our living hope. You see, the body that we have, your body, whether you're young or you're old, and I've done memorial services for young people. I've done them for babies. And we have to realize that these bodies were not intended that they live forever. And so we have a time frame. You know, we're all at one point going to die and meet the Lord. I mean, there is the rapture of the church, but that's a whole different story. But you see, the Bible calls our bodies tents, just a tent. You might have a very comfortable house, a nice house. You might be a camper. You go out and you camp, and that's fun, see nature and all that. And it's fun to do that. But then after a week or two, you're going, "Boy, I can't wait to get back to my bed and my house, all the conveniences there." But the Bible talks about the body as a tent. He says that, "For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, our body, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal, this temporary, might be swallowed up by life, what is immortal." You see, I was in the hospital when Russell was going through it, and he was in a coma. And I didn't like to see him like that. And I know the family didn't like to see him like that. And we prayed. We were hoping that God would do a miracle there. And yet at that point, if you would get into Russell's mind and body, he's groaning. He's saying, "Lord, release me from this. This is not who I am. This is physically not what I want to be, Lord." So that groaning in this tent, you see, our tent gets ripped, it gets torn, the tent pegs get pulled up, and so then what? And then we groan, "Lord, Lord, just come back. Lord, take me home to be with you, that new house in heaven, that house, that eternal house." You see, you might think that although the body is not permanent, you are permanent. You are permanent. Your soul and your spirit. Your soul, which is your personality. Your spirit, which is when we talk about being born again, we're born of the Spirit. When you receive Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, comes in and you become alive. That's why people change so radically. That's why Russell can go from a moke to a man that just loved people. You see, it was God's Spirit. But your body, that's temporary. But you, your soul and your spirit, that's permanent. That's permanent. It would be like a glove. If I had a glove here and I put the glove on, you know, it's just a glove, but my hand can animate the glove. But if I took the glove off, like your body, and just set it down, There's no action there. And you see, that's what Russell did. He laid down this body, and now he's alive with God in heaven. Radical. Radical idea. And those that don't know the Bible, those that are not born again, that seems like, wow, that's just, is that true? Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true. You think, well, what kind of a body would they have? I mean, what, you know, what are we talking about? Well, the Bible addresses that. The Bible addresses everything that we have to deal with in life and also where we're going to go in heaven. The Bible says, someone will say, how are the dead raised and with what kind of body do they come? And so they're asking Paul the Apostle that. And boy, Paul the Apostle, he was in touch with the Lord and big time. Well, Paul answers that and he says, you fool. That's not a way to talk to your congregation. You fool. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. In other words, when you see some of the flowers that we have here, I don't know flowers too much, but you know they're beautiful flowers. But you just don't take the beautiful flower and stick it in the ground. No, there's a seed to that flower. Maybe it's a gladiola. I always like to use that term, a gladiola. I don't know if you've ever seen a gladiola bulb. It's not very beautiful. It's just kind of gnarly. But the gladiola flower is beautiful. It might be white, it might be pink, it might be a variegated color, but it's beautiful. But you don't take the flower and put it in the ground. You take the bulb, put it in the ground. And what happens is it dies. And all of a sudden, the life within, it comes forth, and it's kind of that white shoot, and then it hits the soil and the air, and it turns green, and all of a sudden, in maturity, it's that beautiful flower that you have. You see, that's true with our bodies. That's true with the body. It must die first, and then God gives us a new body, a glorified body, like Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And he says, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body, which is to be, but the bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body, just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. There are also, this is interesting, when he talks about this, he's talking about spiritual things that we know as believers who read the Bible and know God. He says, there are also heavenly bodies. We know there's angels, there's seraphim, cherubim. We know there's fallen angels. But he says there's heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. Oh, we know they're earthly bodies. Look it around. Look around, everybody that's around you, earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one thing and the glory of the earthly is another. Okay, some of you are more beautiful than others. but one glory and there's another glory. But in heaven, he's saying, you can't match that glory in heaven. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and there are other glories of stars. One star differs from other stars, and also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. You see, that's what Russell has right now. And I think if Russell could hear us and if Russell can view what we're doing and what we're talking about, he'd go, yeah, yeah, that's what I got now. I've got my spiritual body. And I hope you, if you don't know Jesus, I hope this afternoon, as Pastor Bill prays, that you will receive Christ. Because you don't have to make a show of your faith. You don't have to join a church or jump through a bunch of hoops. You just have to join Jesus. It could be in the privacy of your heart. But you see, that's what Russell would want. He would want you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, or maybe you knew him one time and you're way far away from him, to come back to him and know him, because we don't have any guarantee on life. You know, we don't know how long our life will be, but we certainly want to be ready when the Lord takes us. When Jesus was with his disciples, they were kind of grieving over the fact that he talked about he was going to go to the cross. And he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places or many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, Jesus has fulfilled his promise to Russell, that where he is, Russell, you'll be also. And he took him home to be with him. And then Jesus said, "And you know the way where I am going." They didn't know the way. They didn't know that he was going to go to the cross and be raised again. But you know the way now, because I just told you the way. So what are you going to do with that? Will you trust and believe in Jesus Christ? Or you just go, "Well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, status quo. I'm just going to go on with my life and not worry about that." Well, I think you should. I think you should. And I think Russell, because he loves you so much, he loved you so much, and he still does in heaven, probably that much more, but he would want you to come and be with him for all eternity. You love to be with him here on earth. Oh, you're really going to love to be with him in heaven. Can we stand for just a moment? I don't know. I think they're going to do another song, but why don't we stand, all of us stand, and let me pray. And maybe if you're here, you've never actually invited Jesus Christ into your heart and ask him to forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven with Jesus and with family and friends that have gone before you, and Russell, who knows Jesus Christ. If that's you, you can pray this prayer after me. You could say it quietly, silently, but if you really mean it, and that's what it is, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. You don't have to do a bunch of things. It's not a works righteousness that you've got to read 10 chapters of the Bible a day and then you might be saved. It's not that kind of a thing. It's a heart thing. He gives you the desire. He comes into your heart. He changes you from the inside out. And so you could say this prayer after me. Just simply mean it. Say it quietly if you like. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for Russell Takiezu, my friend, my brother, my loved one. I ask you to forgive my sin. I turn from sin, and I turn to you in repentance. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, my Savior, my God, and my friend. And I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that I might live with you for all eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know if they're doing a song, but I thought maybe you wanted to get a little bit relief from sitting. Is that good?
You may all please be seated. Again, Russell loved the Lord. He always put God first. So now I'd like to introduce the family to share their words. Sky, Luke, Darcy, Paul, John, and his lovely wife, Lavon.
You. Okay, I guess I'm going first. I forgot my paper, so I won't go on and on and on. One of my favorite memories is that Russell and I, every morning at 6:30 in the morning, we would sit on the sofa together, and we would have our devotions, and we would pray together. And I really miss that together. I also really miss watching sumo together. I love sumo. Anyway, and so did he. He introduced me to it. But anyway, and then the other memory I forgot already, but anyway. The other memory is just seeing him at home. Just walking in the door and seeing him there. So I want to just speak to all of you.
Thank you.
Whoever is married. You know, marriages, we have hard times sometimes. But enjoy your husband or your wife. For families, enjoy each other. There's hope, okay? Anyway, thank you, Paul.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out today. For those of you who don't know me or recognize me, my name is Paul Takaezu. I am Russell's older son. I think my dad would be happy to see everybody, all the commotion we're causing at the Komomai campus. It was nice to see Pastor Bill, too. I'm almost certain I've heard that sermon once before, 25 years ago. I had written out something to say, but I don't know if I'm going to make it through it. My heart's too heavy. So I wanted to go off of something Pastor Bill said. My dad had a way of making people feel comfortable. One of my fondest memories of my dad was driving with him at night in the dark. We would sit in his truck, and I just felt comfortable with him. He would turn on Oldies 107.9 every once in a while, and that's how I got my 70s and 60s music taste. But my dad always made me, he had a way of making me feel comfortable without saying a single word. And it was that unspoken bond that I had with my dad that I will miss forever. And I want to thank you all for coming out. Thank you for taking your time out of your day to remember my dad. And I know he is watching, and I'm sure he is so happy to see everybody together. Thank you.
Hello, I'm John. One of my favorite memories of my dad was actually at a funeral. He was in the front receiving people, and he suddenly gave out this shockingly loud laugh, and everybody looked at him, and then they were like, oh, it's Russell. Okay. And I'll miss that, and I'll also miss how whenever he would pray, he would say, lead us and guide us, watch over us and keep us. And that's, I'll miss my dad. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Luke. My favorite memory about Grandpa Russell is when he lets me play with coins. My favorite, what do I have to say?
You say something I'm gonna miss. It's okay. What are you gonna miss?
When you would put dollar bills in your pocket.
Wait, what? I'm gonna miss.
Okay, that's okay.
Just tell everybody thank you.
Thank you.
You ready?
Hi, my name is Scott, and my favorite memory of my Grandpa Russell is him coming to Moanalua Gardens and feeding the koi fish. Thank you.
I remembered now what I was supposed to say too. Darcy came up to me and she goes, I gotta tell you what Luke said. And she said, Skye, when Grandpa Russell's name is mentioned, she would cry. And Luke just acted like no big deal. So Darcy, my daughter-in-law, she would ask Luke, how come you're not sad that Grandpa Russell died? And he looks at her and he says, Grandpa Russell is in heaven. He has a new body. He doesn't get sick. And he's eating dinosaur meat with Tamago, their dog. Thank you all very much for coming. And for all of those who helped out, I just really want to thank you. I know Russell is blessed, and we were totally blessed. Thank you.
Guys, we're going to sing this last song. Well, we're going to sing a last song here. And it's in the book of Acts, chapter 3. Peter and John go to the temple. They heal a guy. Everybody's amazed. They're tripping out. And Peter looks at the people and they say, what are you amazed at? It's because of the faith in this guy, Jesus, that this guy's able to walk again. And they're all amazed. And Peter goes on and gives this sermon about how you guys crucified that guy, how you guys wanted to crucify him, right? He says, but I know you guys did it in ignorance. You didn't know. But today I'm going to tell you guys. And Peter goes on and he kind of ends it right here. And he goes, now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Then he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. That's his name. So we know, you know, Pastor Russell's still speaking to us by bringing all of us here today. We could come, we could gather, and we could hear all of these testimonies. And by the way, that's my pastor, Pastor Bill. That's my pastor. Awesome, yeah? Awesome message today. That's my pastor. Anyway, so that we could hear this message of God's love through Pastor Russell to all of us. So as we close out this song, Times of Refreshing, I'm going to ask you guys to stand, if you can. Please stand with us. But also, maybe, guys, maybe you struggling and you're having a hard time. Russell's still ministering to us by bringing us here, right? Gathering us together. So maybe if you're struggling, you're having a hard time. Christians, you're struggling today, right? Repent or just turn back to God, that times of refreshing may come through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Amen.
Lord, that you are my Savior. You're my strength, the rock on which I stand. You give me life and grace that is greater. When I humble myself beneath your mighty hand, you bring times of refreshing. You bring times of refreshing. You bring times of refreshing to my soul. When I'm weary from the fire, and I'm trying to do what's right, you bring times of refreshing to my soul.
For the day will come.
For the day will come and we may all be gathered.
the Lord.
There we go. One, two.
So before we close, the Takeezu and Oishi families would like to thank the Lord and each and every one of you for being here today and for those who could not attend. Your prayers, your love, and support for this day have brought us comfort during this difficult time. We also want to thank all who have so graciously spent time in all the preparations and serving to help make this day happen. You all know who you are. And we were and are blessed by each of you. May God bless you. Please continue to keep our families in your prayers. Thank you. And so the Takeezu family and the Oishi family would like you to join them for lunch and fellowship in the gym near the lower parking lot. Please note that we need to leave the gym at 1:30. If seats are tight, please be mindful of others who may need to seat once you are done eating. On behalf of Lavon and the family and all the families, thank you. And so after we close, you can come back up and greet again. And there's lunch in the gym. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day, this special time, a day of celebration and not mourning, because we know where Russell is right now. And he has attained eternal life. Well done, thy good and faithful servant, Pastor Russell. So we ask a blessing on the food and pray for everyone's safe traveling mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.